enjoy the presence of the Lord we're feeling in this service so far tonight. But don't hold back. Don't let, say, oh, it's preaching time, time to sit back, cross your legs, cross your arms, you know, get comfy. If you're really into it, you're going to get excited. Amen. So tonight, we're going to go visit somebody in Caesarea. His name is Cornelius, chapter 10 in Acts. Before I go on, I just want to say I appreciate our pastor, a man of God, the angel of the church at Norwich. The Revelation, it talks about the angel of the church of Ephesus, the angel of the church of Philadelphia. They're not talking about little winged creatures. They're talking about the pastor. So our angel is Brother Joe. And he's our pastor, and we love him. And I appreciate the confidence that he has in his people. Amen. A little thought I had today was cast not away your confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. Your confidence in what? Yourself? Your chiropractor? Your psychologist? No, your confidence in God. The only confidence we ever really need is to have confidence in God. If we have confidence in God, we can face whatever comes, bad or otherwise, because we know that God is able. And if we didn't believe that, we wouldn't have prayed tonight expecting to hear answers to the prayers. Amen? So keep your confidence in God. Don't put it in anybody else, because if you put your confidence in somebody else, I'm sorry, you're going to get very disappointed somewhere along the line. Humanity has that ability to just take the stuffing right out of you and leave you for whatever they think you're worth. But God will never forsake you. He'll never leave you. And he's here for you tonight. Be diligent. Amen. Chapter 10 in Acts. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band, called the Italian band. Now it tells us right away that he was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. An angel of the Lord talking to this man, and he says, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're going to go talk to that man. He's going to tell you what to do. Amen. We don't have to look anywhere else but to God for our answers. God's going to send us an angel. It's going to, that gentleman right back there, he's our angel. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. You may be seated. Kind of keep your finger in this chapter. The only thing that we knew about Cornelius before this was that he was a man that lived in Caesarea. And that he was an Italian, and that he prayed for his family. I picture him a lot like Lot, where where he just prayed for his family, and if there was anything wrong with his family, he tried to make the amends for it, and he, just constantly praying, giving tithes. Giving tithes is necessary because it shows to God that you're not holding back, that you're not saying that I need this more than what I can give to you, that there's more to living than just money. The only life we ever really have and the only life we're ever going to get is the one that's real, and that's the one in Christ, life in Christ. And if we progress forward in that, we will see great rewards, great recompense of reward, because we're trusting in a God who's able to do it. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life hoping that somehow I'm going to make it to heaven. I must move forward a little bit, just like Cornelius is doing right now. He's saying, the angel of the Lord spoke to me, and I'm going to go send these people to find out, because he said, there's a man that's going to tell me what I need to do. And if you start listening to what the Lord wants you to hear, you're going to hear a whole lot more than what just people say. The Word of God backs up what he's saying. The Word of God is the reason it was put in here, because Cornelius started to show what is called diligence. We heard a little message on that the other night. Not a little message, a great message. But if we have diligence, we're going to do just like Cornelius did. If we want to serve God, if we really want to know who he is, we really want to go to heaven, we really have a desire to know God and to love him and to uphold all his laws, then we have that within us to take on a little bit of diligence to go forward and say, what does the Word of God say for me? What do I have to do? I don't care what he thinks. I don't care what she thinks. I don't care what those churches out there think. I want to know what God says. Everybody has a thought. Everybody has thoughts on what, you know, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has got something to say. Well, I think it should be this way, and I think it should be that way. And the scripture is, one of them says, in the mouths of two or three witnesses, let every word of God be established. That doesn't mean that I go talk to Sister Susie and Brother James and you know, Brother Robert over there, and if the three of them agree on how they think this scripture should be, then it's right. No, no. This is the witness right here. Here's your witness. If two or three of these scriptures align up, they'll show you who God is. They'll teach you. They'll direct you in the right direction. They're not going to leave you every word profitable to man, every word of God. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven. And that time and that season is where you are right now, where you live, what you're doing to serve God, how you're going about doing it. There is no end to the serving God. Because if we do it right here, we'll be doing it right there. Amen. That's our goal. It's not just to sit in a church service, get blessed, which is absolutely perfect, don't get me wrong. But our goal is not to just come together and feel good about serving God. But our goal is to get to see him, to be with him. Not just to sit around and worship him, which is great, but there are things that we must do. Cornelius found out that there was something that he needed to do. And he was loving God. He was praying. He was paying his tithes. He was doing everything he thought everything he knew to do. But yet the angel of the Lord came to him and said, there's something else that you have to do. Go talk to this man. He'll tell you what thou oughtest to do. Amen. When you come to church, don't come with the idea that everything in my life, serving God, is absolutely perfect. Because you may sit on this chair and somebody get up here and testify and say something that says, wait a minute, I didn't know that. When I was a kid, I had a chainsaw. Oh, not a kid. I was, I don't know. Older than a kid. I'm older than a lot of things, right? But when I had this chainsaw, and if you're not careful, chainsaws are dangerous instruments. They really are. You know, and I didn't know that. I just got this chainsaw, a big 16-inch blade, you know, and I'm out there, and I'm standing on a log cutting it, you know. The intelligence of a woodchuck, you know. And I'm cutting this thing, and I slip, and the saw goes, and I cut my buddy's leg. Gash about that long, no big thing, you know, he didn't die. And I'm thankful for that. But they are dangerous machines, they really are. And as I got a little older, I learned a little more about chainsaws, and I went in the woods one time, and there was a tree, it was standing up, and the top was broken over. And so I said, I'll just cut that thing down. I go there, wah, wah. I cut it, and the tree falls that way. And I'm standing there going, that's great. And the branch that was there fell there. It actually fell about 3 feet behind me. Now I'm thinking, maybe I ought to learn a little bit more about chainsawing before I go too much further. You know? Close counter with death. You know, and like Sister said, you know, sometimes we wonder how God just kept us, Sister Tanya, how he kept us through some of the things we went through in life. You know, by all rights and purposes, I probably should be dead. But the Lord saw fit, and I'm thankful for that. So then later on, I'm on the farm, and I'm cutting firewood 5 cords a year, burning it, cutting it, burning it. And this tree fell, and it was right behind the duck house. And I said, well, I'll just cut that up, use it for firewood. And so when it fell, it just, so I went over there and I got the chainsaw and I'm cutting it. It goes, and when I cut through it, the stump, the tree about that big around just goes right past my face. I'm wondering, how did that ever happen? Well, when the tree fell, the branches fell like that and it kind of loaded the tree. So that as soon as you took the pressure off of this end, these branches pushed it back. I'm still learning stuff about chainsaws. That's probably the answer, Sister Lynn. Stay away from them. You know? But now, in your walk with God, you start out early, you make some, well, not, I won't say you make foolish mistakes, but you don't know all that you need to know. You know, and you may get yourself in trouble. Sometimes we're in trouble with God because of some of your crazy answers that you come up with or solutions to problems that, you know, you find when God says, no, I've got a better way. And then as you get a little older, you get a little more experience and, you know, you don't cut your buddy's leg with a chainsaw and you don't almost get killed by a branch falling down on you. But as you're walking with God, every time you read this word, something else, there's experience in this word that wants to go from there to hear. And the scripture tells us that they have ears to hear and eyes to see. You know, we need that. If we don't have those ears to hear and the eyes to see, we may as well stay home. Because all we're doing otherwise is coming to church, getting a happy feel-good moment, and then going home and trying to face the rest of the world. But we have to have a diligence that says, I want to hear what the Lord has to say to me. I want to see what the Lord is doing in his people. I want to understand what God wants me to do because I don't want to spend the rest of my life thinking I'm doing good, only to have the Lord say, I know, I don't know you. That, oh my God, I don't know what would, hell couldn't even come close to that. To know that everything you did, you thought you were doing right, and you put your whole life into it, and then the Lord says, I know you not. Good reason to put your eyes in the book. Good reason to put your ears to hearing. I'm not just saying about hearing, like hearing a song. I'm saying hearing that goes in here and goes here. It doesn't go in here and out there. And eyes to see that see things that are godly things and the word of God and the working of God in your life that go from there to here. So Cornelius went around and he had all these, sent the men out to go see Peter, and they brought Peter back with them. And Cornelius, in the meantime, let me back up just a bit. Before Cornelius' men got to Joppa to see Peter, Peter was up on a rooftop and he was hungry, he was going to have lunch, but he fell into a trance. And in that trance, the Lord showed him a tablecloth basically coming down from heaven. It had all kind of manner of four-footed beasts on there. And the Lord said, slay, kill, and eat. And he says, I don't do that. You taught me all my life not to do that. And the Lord says, don't call it unclean. Don't call it unclean. So that happened 3 times. And the scripture that says here, where was it? In verse 14. But Peter said, no, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, that God, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And then verse 17 says, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made entrance, inquiry for Simon at his door, And he goes down there and he says, "What's up?" And they said, "You got to come with us." The thing I want to bring out in this little point here, Cornelius heard from the Lord and said, "There's something you need to know. Send some men to him, and he'll tell you what to do." Peter's on a housetop, and the Lord shows him something. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand what the Lord just showed him. Because he says, right there, it says, while he doubted in himself what this vision was all about. But nonetheless, he went with them. And they showed up at Cornelius' house. And Cornelius, because he loved God, not only had was he there, but he had family and friends. Because he knew what was coming was important. Why? He heard from God. He knew what's coming up. He had this, if you would, he had a vision. And God said, "This is what you're going to have to do. You want to go to heaven? This is what you got to do." And Cornelius said, "I want to go to heaven. So I'm going to send some men. Get Peter, get him over here. Find out what it is I have to do." A lot of us sit in church and say, "Well, you have to do this." And you say, "Well, maybe later." Later never comes around. I don't care what you do. God gives you something to do, and you say, "Well, I'll pick that up later. Right now, you know, I'm real busy doing these things for God." And, you know, if God gives you something to do, do it now. Don't put it off. The worst thing you can do is put it off, because you'll never get back to it. Never. Not the way. If God puts it in your heart, the diligence, the desire ought to be there to do it. And if he shows you something, the desire and the diligence, and you should say, "I want to understand that. I don't just want to, you know, spend my life going to church doing nothing. I want to prosper. I want to have good fruit. I want to have multiple baskets of grain, you know, the sower. I want all of this stuff applied to my life because it's available to me. And if I just leave it laying on the doorstep, somebody else will get it." Sometimes it's okay to be greedy, you know. The Lord gives it to you. That's good stuff. Keep it. Don't throw it out. And if he asks you to do something, it would be in your very, 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 very absolute very best to do it. Don't put it off. So Cornelius didn't put it off because he was sincere. He wanted to find out what he had to do. He thought he was doing everything he needed to do. But not so. And then he shows up at Cornelius' house, and it was a couple days' journey. So Cornelius had all his family and friends there. And now in verse 34, Peter is going to start to tell Cornelius what he needs to know. I'm thinking Cornelius, if he's sitting down, he's on the edge of his seat. Because this, whatever he's going to hear, was sent by God. This is not just a little, what do they call it, a Twitter? There's no little Twitter thing, you know, like, "Hey." Yeah, a tweet. There it is. A little tweet or a Facebook message, or, you know. He didn't get one of these. "Hey, Corny, you know, got a man coming over. He's going to talk to you." Yeah. But he got this, he got a message directly from God. So do you. You have a message directly from God. And how do you read it? Do you read it with the excitement that it's going to do something for you? Or do you read it like a novel, like you would Moby Dick, you know? But this is that that's going to bring you out of your problems. This is that Cornelius needed to hear. This is that which Cornelius had no idea what Peter was going to say. And I'm up to the point where I'm thinking that Peter wasn't real sure what he was going to say either, because when he got there, here's this Gentile who are not in with us. They don't share the same bus. I'm sorry. They get their own bus. We get our own bus. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Amen. Jew, Gentile, Greek, white, green, blue, orange, purple, embarrassed. It doesn't make any difference. God says, they're all the same. From now on, everybody is the same. One family under one God. Amen. And he begins to preach, and he said, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." What's the Lord's name?
Jesus.
How many believe that?
Amen.
Put your hand, if you believe that, put your hand up. Amen. 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 Okay, so the Lord's name is Jesus. We got that. "That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." He preached the baptism of repentance. But he said, "Believe on him that come after me, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." Amen. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." I'm going to read that again. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." God was with Jesus. Let that sink in. Let that one sink in. "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. How God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us." Him, Peter, he saw it. And he's saying, "I stood there. I saw it. I saw this risen Jesus. He was real. I saw him. Who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Now, Cornelius is sitting on the edge of his seat. He's hearing this word, and he's hearing it in his heart. He didn't want to hear it in his ear. Understand what I'm saying. He didn't just want to hear a word. He wanted to hear the word. He wanted to know what it was that was so important that God sent a special messenger just to him to hear something preached. You're that important to God too. You are that important to God. He'll send a preacher from North Stonington all the way up here to Norwich to preach to your soul. Or from the other side of Norwich to here to preach to you. Think about it. You're that important to God. Put your name. Don't say, back here it says, there was a certain person in Norwich called my name. God's just as important, as much in concerned about you, probably even more than you might realize. So Cornelius is now sitting on the edge of his seat, and he heard this message. And it says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believe," the Jews that came with him, "were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. No more is it just for the Jews. It is now," and that's what that sheet and all that was about, that there's no law concerning that anymore. The law is now serve God. That's the only law we have, the only law we need. Serve God. The whole duty of man, to love God and keep his commandments. And Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Amen. "Now, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered." He's not finished. Cornelius is still lacking this little bit of information. That's the difference between there, and there. A little piece of word, a little word. And if you get it, and it goes in here, and goes to here, you'll be okay. If it comes in here, and goes out there, not so good. But you'll have another chance later. You always have a chance. As long as this chest is moving and that heart is pumping and blood's moving and you're not on a machine to keep you alive, you have opportunity. Don't ever think that it's over. It's not over until you can't do anything anymore. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Cornelius and you guys, can any of you guys forbid these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Holy Ghost is essential, and guess what? So is baptism. Absolutely necessary. And he commanded them. Peter commanded them. He was now telling Cornelius what God was sending him to do. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. What did we say the name of the Lord was?
Jesus.
How many raised your hand? Okay. I just want to make sure you didn't back up on me. That the name of the Lord is Jesus. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. In other words, we got this all right now. Let's get baptized. Let's get our feet on the ground. Give us something to work with. So the question today is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And the question is, have you been baptized in Jesus' name since you believed? Have you repented since you believed? You're not going to heaven on a thank you card. You're not going to get there because you've been doing good. I know some people that, they're going to get to heaven because they cart people around. Cart people around town, take them here, do that, do this, do that. And he's like, oh, God's so good. Yes, he is. But you need to have a couple of these and a couple of these. So if you're lacking anything, be a Cornelius. Be a Cornelius. Come to church with an eager desire to understand the word. Come to church with an eager desire to learn what God wants you to do to please him. We can please him. We can please him by giving tithes. We can please him by giving prayers and offerings and all that. And that becomes a memorial before God. But what is God looking for? He's looking for you to commit yourself to him. And tithes and prayers, it's good, but it's not there. There is a word that says you must be. You must be baptized. You must repent. You must receive the Holy Ghost. I'm going to almost close with this. Saw something the other one day, and it says, do you need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? And the reply was, good Lord, you need the Holy Ghost just to go to Walmart. But you do need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. Without a doubt, you need the Holy Ghost. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I pray that in this place today, there is our sets of ears that are hearing. And there are sets of eyes that are seeing the work of God manifest in other people's lives, seeing miracles, signs, and wonders following. We don't look for them ahead of us. We just do what God asks us to do, just like Peter. And when he got finished, he looked back and said, wow, look what God did. We don't go saying, oh, this one here, we're going to get him. But you just follow God, and God will do the work, and then we can do the rejoicing. That's what it's all about. So tonight, be a Cornelius. Get hungry for the word. Don't put it off. And whatever you see to do, do it with all your heart. Yeah.